Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, today is the most special day for the first communicants of our parish. Some of us have witnessed the enthusiasm and excitement of innocent children as they wait to receive Jesus for the first time in their lives. Thinking of this wondrous event, we might ask ourselves, what has happened to the enthusiasm and love we had on our first communion day? It's a sad fact that Holy Mother Church felt it necessary to command that Catholics receive Holy Communion once a year during the Easter season. What a tragedy it is that we must be ordered to receive Jesus once a year. Do we have to be forced to eat in order to sustain our bodily strength? Why do so many let their souls starve from lack of spiritual nourishment? Was their first Holy Communion only a one-time event which never gave rise to a life of devotion and practice of the faith? If we really believe that the Blessed Sacrament is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, then our infrequent reception must be due to ingratitude, apathy, and a mediocre faith. Such a weak faith could, in time, even degenerate into a total denial of this wondrous mystery, as has occurred to so many in the post-conciliar church. My dearly beloved in Christ, the Holy Eucharist is the very heart and center of the Catholic faith. Without the Holy Eucharist, Christ's love would be nothing more than that of a lifeless love, a love of the past that we would quickly forget, and which it would be almost excusable for us to forget. Jesus realized how helpless and weak we are, and then our souls would languish and starve if he did not nourish us. We'd be like castaways on a desert island. This is why, out of his infinite love for us, he abased himself so profoundly as to give himself wholly, living and personally to us as our spiritual food in the form of bread and wine. Jesus went to this extent of his love, even knowing that there would be a tremendous amount of ingratitude on the part of men. The malice of many would go so far as to deny his real presence in the adorable host, trample it underfoot, profane the Holy Eucharist, and even use it in satanic rituals. St. John Vianney says, "To what outrages does he not expose himself, that he may remain in our midst?" Christ chose to undergo all these outrages throughout history just so that he would be here for us. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's through the Holy Eucharist that we can come close to our living Savior in person, see him and converse with him. Through the sacramental presence, we go to our Lord directly and come to him as during his mortal life. St. Joseph Cafasso said that Jesus desires so greatly to come to us that waiting for even one day seems long to him. If the angels could receive Holy Communion only once, they would spend the rest of eternity thanking God for that privilege. The Holy Fathers call the Holy Eucharist the extension of the Incarnation. Through the Holy Eucharist, says St. Augustine, Jesus becomes incarnate in the soul and body of every communicant. He has said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him." You probably heard some people say, "If only I lived during the time of Christ and could see him and talk with him." Do these people not know that this is surely possible, and even more, with even more intimacy than when Jesus was on earth, when they communicate with him by receiving the Holy Eucharist? Perhaps these are the same people who rarely, if at all, receive Holy Communion. Sadly, from a great number, he receives only ingratitude and tepidity in return for his infinite love. The evil spirits know that Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament, living and substantially present. This has been proved throughout history, and especially during exorcisms. Because Jesus draws souls to himself through this most powerful means of grace, the demons try to prevent us from receiving Holy Communion frequently and fruitfully. Father Michael Mueller, in his book, The Blessed Eucharist, Our Greatest Treasure, says, "The devil knows that according to the promise of Jesus Christ, they who receive Jesus Christ worthily will not fall into his power, but will obtain eternal life. And on this account, he either tempts men to disbelieve the mystery or suggests every sort of pretext to keep them from receiving it. But he himself believes it and trembles." Satan is evidently successful because there are many who do not receive Jesus often or with devotion, or even worse, who dare to receive him while their souls are in the state of mortal sin. Mediocre faith, apathy, and even lack of belief have wormed their way into many souls. And there are many who are in the state of mortal sin also. But they can go to confession and then receive our Lord. Many people whose souls are still in the state of grace stay away from Holy Communion for no good reason. Worse yet, some people, while knowing that they're in the state of mortal sin, think nothing of the most serious sacrilege they are committing by going up to receive Jesus. St. Paul has said, "Whoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Our Lord said to St. Bridget of Sweden, "There does not exist on earth a punishment great enough to punish sufficiently the grave sin of a sacrilegious communion." It's because of a weak faith that such people show a most disrespectful attitude toward Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Some people receive Jesus with gum tucked in their cheek. Father Lucas Eltlin writes, "How is it that so many Catholics who assist at Holy Mass and receive Holy Communion are nevertheless so cold, so indifferent, and so full of distractions when they're in church and before the tabernacle?" My dearly beloved in Christ, it's because their faith is so weak that it does not deserve the name faith. Lack of a lively faith in the Holy Eucharist is a reason lukewarm Catholics lose their faith and turn their backs upon the church. On the other hand, when we adore Jesus Christ hidden in the sacred host, our faith is strengthened. It's by a firm faith that we shall be able to submit ourselves before him, repent, adore, and thank him. Everything concerning the Blessed Sacrament is shrouded in deep mystery. No created spirit, not even the cherubim or seraphim, is capable of penetrating the mystery of this sublime sacrament. Our reason is suspended before this unsolved mystery. Our senses protest against a doctrine which is beyond their sphere. Natural knowledge fails in this case. Here avails only humble faith in our Savior's words, "This is my body which is given for you." Our zeal and fervor toward the Blessed Sacrament is a reliable barometer of our whole spiritual life. The true Catholic is known by his faith in the Blessed Sacrament. My dearly beloved in Christ, while there is nothing that gives God more honor and contributes more to our spiritual welfare than the devout reception of the Holy Eucharist, there's, on the contrary, nothing more offensive to God and more hurtful to our souls than an unworthy communion, to receive Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin. On Judgment Day, some Catholics will see clearly how they lived with so much divine love at their side in the Blessed Sacrament and paid no attention to him. How they left Jesus alone and abandoned in the tabernacle, refused his graces, and have, through their indifference, neglected to receive him in Holy Communion. It's then that they will be asked to render an account of their omitted and sacrilegious communions. And others, however, will rejoice in their salvation because they have loved, consoled, and revered Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and placed the devout reception of Holy Communion as a priority in their spiritual lives. There's an abundance of true stories which relate the circumstances of the innumerable miracles connected with the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. There's a book called Eucharistic Miracles by Joan Carol Cruz, which contains more than 41 of them. I'll conclude with only one of many. Prior to Vatican II, the religious fervor of the people of Ireland and their zealous allegiance to the faith was beyond question. and is well documented in Irish history. In the early 17th century, Protestants undertook a fierce persecution against the church in Ireland. Priests were imprisoned or killed, ordinations were forbidden, and every manner of threat and abuse was suffered by the faithful. A wonderful occurrence, which was recorded by the Irish historian and theologian Wadding, took place in Waterford on February 18, 1609. Waddington tells of a Franciscan friar named James Dayton, who was secretly saying Mass for the faithful Catholics in a man's house in the city of Waterford. Suddenly, the house was surrounded by Protestant soldiers who came to apprehend him and everyone who was there. At that moment, Dayton was at the consecration of the Mass and held the sacred host in his hands. He was told by one of the faithful that he should escape at once. James Dayton requested him not to interrupt him while he had his master, the Blessed Sacrament, in his hands. Who was more valiant than the entire army of soldiers? At that point, the soldiers entered the house and could see nothing but white walls, even though it was full of people, and the priest who was standing at the altar with the sacred host between his hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.